This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
Welcome to R1 News at 1. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Jonah. In Dunedin news, Dunedin has gained a new MP with the swearing-in of Green Party MP Francisco Hernandez earlier this month, the ODD reports. The former OUSA president and climate policy expert unexpectedly gained a seat in Parliament after the retirement of James Shaw, which followed the tragic death of Afiso Collins and the resignation of Gouras Gaharaman. Mr. Hernandez described the course of events leading to his entering a Parliament as a weird situation, especially following the death of a well-regarded and liked colleague. However, he said it was a privilege to be part of Parliament and hoped to mount an effective opposition. The new MP was sworn in Tagalog, one of the national languages of the Philippines, where he was born. His family has a political history, having moved to Wellington when Francisco was 12, to escape political persecution due to his father's membership of the deposed party of Joseph Estrada. Mr. Hernandez moved to Dunedin to study politics, putting his degree into practice by successfully running for OUSA president in 2012. Before going into national politics, Hernandez worked a number of roles in climate policy, including as climate change advisor to the Otago Regional Council. The Greens are offering a, quote, bolder and more radical course of action to combat the climate crisis and poverty crisis, he said. Mr. Hernandez makes his maiden speech tonight at 4:45 p.m. With the live stream available on Parliament TV.
In national news, National has rejected any claims that the Fast Track Committee has been undermined by an MP's donation, RNZ reports. New Plymouth MP David McLeod has received $10,000 from a donor who has shares in a company hoping to benefit from the Fast Track legislation. The National Party insists there has been no conflict of interest in McLeod's committee chairing considering the contentious Fast Track bill. The $10,000 donation came from a New Plymouth businessman, Phil Brown, who has considerable shares in Trans-Tasman Resources, a seabed mining company. The Trans-Tasman Resources mining project is looking at mining the iron sands off the coast of Taranaki, as long as they can get the green light under the Fast Track bill, depending on when the bill passes in Parliament. This legislation is being taken under advisement by the Environment Select Committee, which McLeod was the chair of until he was stood down due to failing to properly declare the donations he had received for his election campaign. Although MPs on committees have no control over which projects will be progressed after the bill is passed, they can still suggest changes to the legislation. Te Pāti Māori co-leader Debbie Ngāriua Packer has stated, quote, "When you have the chair of that committee who has received $10,000 from one of those who is going to hugely benefit from the changes to the legislation, then that's wrong," unquote. She strongly believes that this relationship has represented a significant conflict of interest. Brown told RNZ there was nothing inappropriate about his donation to the campaign. Quote, "When I made that donation, in my personal capacity, he had no knowledge that he was going to be in fact an MP or whether in fact he was going to be appointed to that role. That's just something that has unfolded as time goes by," unquote. A spokesperson for the National Party has also declined any evidence of any conflict of interest in McLeod's role on the committee. The National Party stated, quote, "The committee is hearing submissions on the Fast Track legislation, not considering projects which might apply to be considered for the Fast Track process," unquote.
The public sector is experiencing a significant hike in job cuts as the government is directing ministries and agencies to reduce their spending, RNZ reports. As of the 22nd of May, 4,409 jobs have been cut across several government departments. The Ministry of Education has taken the largest hit, with 605 employees set to go. The Department of Internal Affairs, Oranga Tamariki, and the Ministry for Primary Industries are also seeing job cuts in the hundreds. The job cuts come as a result of the government's budget-cutting initiatives, which plan to reduce public service expenditure by $1.5 billion. Finance Minister Nicola Willis has directed each ministry to cut their own spending by either 6.5 or 7.5%. Minister for Employment Louise Upson says the job cuts were an unfortunate but necessary step to ensure government agencies are exercising restraint. She acknowledged that the immediate few months will be tough and that she really feels for public servants losing their jobs. Public servants affected by the cuts, who spoke to RNZ, expressed anger and frustration at the situation, and Public Service Association Assistant Secretary Fleur Fitzsimmons criticised the cuts as a very short-sighted approach.
To continue with national stories, we will have the head of the PPTA, Chris Abercrombie, in to elaborate on a story we ran last week about the government's decision to pledge $153 million to restart charter schools in New Zealand. In the 2024 budget, $153 million has been set aside to fund these new publicly funded private schools over the next 4 years. This money will see the establishment of 15 new charter schools and 35 state schools converting to charter schools by 2026.
In international news, Ireland, Norway and Spain have all announced that they will formally recognise the state of Palestine, Catherine Armstrong of the BBC News reports. The three European countries' recognition will come into effect on 28th of May. Norway was the first to make an announcement yesterday, in a move coordinated with the other two countries, which swiftly followed suit. Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre said that the recognition of a Palestinian state was an investment in the two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which he claims is the only solution that can bring lasting peace to the Middle East. These sentiments were echoed by Støre's Irish and Spanish counterparts, with Irish Taoiseach or Prime Minister Simon Harris calling the two-state solution, quote, the only credible path to peace and security, unquote. Israel has reacted with fury to the decision, which comes after 7 months of its ongoing military campaign in the Gaza Strip that has resulted in widespread outrage and international condemnation. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed that the recognition was a, quote, reward for the terrorist attacks committed by Hamas on October 7th last year. Both the Palestinian Authority and its rival Hamas welcomed the move. Most of the world already recognizes the state of Palestine. However, yesterday's move by the three countries makes them an outlier in Western Europe, with only Iceland and Sweden being the other two states in the region that recognize Palestinian statehood. New Zealand also does not recognize Palestine as a state, with mounting pressure for it to do so.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Thursday, the 23rd of May. Today's bulletin was written by Charlie Cunningham and Jonah Brighton and read to you by Charlie Cunningham and Jonah Brighton. And up next for you, we have Lands by Big Sir. Welcome back to R1 News at 1. That was Vanessa Worm with Lost Memories. And up next for you, we have the PPTA's current president, Chris Abercrombie, to come in to talk to us about the charter schools. The PPTA is the Post-Primary Teachers Association, and Chris is the president. And he has many years of experience teaching history and social sciences in school. And he's going to chat to us about their stance on charter schools. Thank you.
Okay, so Chris, could you please just kind of start by expanding more on the idea of what charter schools are for listeners who may not understand what the purpose of them has traditionally been?
Yeah, sure. So a charter school is effectively, it's a when a private entity, private business, private group takes over a public school. So it's basically public schools run with private money. So they get money from the government and it gets put into the, a big pool, and they run education through that. So the it becomes basically, schools become a business model. They start trying to make money off children. That's the whole idea of a charter school, is that it's a private business running a public good.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. And so you're the head of the PPTA, and you guys have come out strongly against charter schools. Would you just be able to explain to us why you guys have chosen to take this stance?
Sure. So we are against privatisation of education. It's a public good. Public education is a public good. It's a good thing. A strong public education system is absolutely vital, ensuring that all young people are maximised to their full potential. Because if we're going to deal with the problems of the future, we need every single young person at their best, maximised. And so public education does that. Public education is a public responsibility. It's not a profit-driven motive, which a charter schools are. So we're really strongly against privatisation. We don't believe entities should be making money off children, the public good should be protected.
Perfect. And so the government they've pledged $153 million to the re-implementation of charter schools, which is a massive amount of money. What was the PPTA's stance on this?
We're absolutely disappointed by this, this amount of money. It should be in the public sector. So this is effectively taking money out of the public sector. Mm-hmm. And actually, in reality, it will be more than $153 million because it's not taken into account the funding that those converted state schools, so they want to convert 35 public schools into charter schools, and that does not count in the money that those schools already are getting in their per student amount. So it's actually going to be more than that for charter schools. But we're absolutely gutted by that. That's That's over a four-year period, then $153 million. That's one extra teacher in every school, secondary school in the country for that time period. You know, it's an, you know, that's more teacher aid time for AWS-funded students, students with high needs. So there's so much more that could be done with that money in the public system than basically what's happening now is effectively profit.
Well, you kind of already touched on this just then, but where would you guys at the PPTA rather see this money go in our education system?
Well, we'd want to see it, you know, supporting specific learning needs. We know more and more students are, you know, I'm going to say, you know, the explosion of neurodiversity, which isn't, you know, sounds like it hasn't always existed, but we understand it more. So we're helping, trying to help students with those specific learning needs. We'd want to see more money in that. We want to see more money supporting students' mental health. But all of those kind of things there actually make it better in the classroom. So teachers don't have to be dealing with those, supporting those students with that as much. So they're getting the support they need. So teachers can just get on with the teaching and learning. So it's guidance counselors, it's educational psychologists, it's social workers, it's teacher aides, it's all of that expertise help that we need to support those young people so they can be at their best. So that means we can be at our best in the classroom, and that means we can all be at our best in the education system.
Well, as you said, the students are the most important people we need to be looking after on the system. What kind of approaches would you guys like to see the government take towards our education system for the students and their well-being and the experiences that they're going to be having at school?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So it's there's a bit of a saying in our sectors that a teacher's working conditions or a student's learning conditions. So it's all really intertwined. And so as we've already mentioned, if we get those extra supports we need for our young people, then that frees up teacher time. They're not having to deal with those issues. We know that sort of those behaviour issues have increased. There's a recent ERA report on that. So it's providing that pastoral care for those young people. We really want to see the government coming in and supporting that, you know, with effective mental health support, effective pastoral support, and effective recruitment and retention campaigns. We know that there's a number of schools, over half secondary schools in the country are hiring non-specialist teachers for specialist roles. So it'd be something like, I'm a history teacher, so it'd be me teaching physics. I can assure you that would not go well. And so really trying to get those specialist teachers that we need to make sure, again, it's about maximising every young person. And it's hard to do that. You know, I'm sure I could teach physics, but I definitely wouldn't be the best at it. And those students would be getting a raw deal. And so it's about just making sure that we can get the best person in front of those students to give them the best deal.
No, yeah, exactly. That is really important stuff. And as we know, students aren't the most... As we know, it's not just students in the education system. We also need to be looking after our teachers and all the other teaching staff. What kind of approaches would you like to see towards supporting our teaching staff and their ability to teach and also their well-being?
So that's, again, really great question, and sort of links again that, you know, our working conditions, mm-hmm. student learning conditions. So paying conditions is always really important. Teachers need to be paid well. We need to have good working conditions, and that's things like with our last collective round, we looked at wanting pastoral care allowances to, again, free up more time so we can support young people, so teachers can get into the teaching and learning. And as I mentioned, pay, really important aspect of this, because we want to encourage people into this profession. It's a fantastic profession. I've been doing it 19 years. I love it. I want people to become teachers. But it's about making sure those things are there to encourage them into the profession. So we're part of the paid placements campaign because we know that's really important mm-hmm. for young people. When I trained, it was a lot easier. But nowadays, with the cost of living, we know that these people who are training to become teacher can't just take 6 weeks to go move somewhere to go do a practicum. They've still got rent, they've still got food, all of these things. So we're really pushing that paid placements. We want to see more support for second career teachers, people coming into the career, into the teaching profession later in life. Could be, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, they've had their career, and they're amazing. They bring so much wealth of knowledge into the sector. And also they tend to stay in the profession once they join, so it's really good to have them here. So there's those kind of things we're seeing from the government. So it's that retention, trying to keep the teachers we have, but also trying to encourage more people in the profession. So looking at the Teach New Zealand scholarships, you know, is there enough money there? We know the paid placements, as I said, in Australia, they're doing it. So there's lots of room we could do here, and we really hope the government will come to the party in that.
No, thank you very much for taking the time and coming to talk to us today. Just kind of wrapping up this interview, are there any final thoughts you have on this topic or where people can find the PPTA to look at the amazing work you guys do or anything like that?
So this is their website, pbda.org.nz. There's also, we're all on all the social medias, so get along and enjoy that. I'm not in charge of the social media, thank goodness, because I'm far too old for that. But we've got some awesome people that do that. But also, I just really want to encourage anyone listening, if they're thinking about becoming a teacher, look into it. Have a look at those options. It's a fantastic career. It's one of those things that, you know, it's very rare these days that you could actually do for life if you chose to. But also, you know, you could do it for a while, leave, come back, travel. There's lots of amazing options of teaching. It's a fantastic job. Honestly, being in the classroom and teaching is amazing. And so if anyone's listening, I encourage you to look into it if you're thinking about it.
That was our interview with Chris Acrombie of the PPTA, sharing their stance on the government's recent funding boost for charter schools. Big thank you to Chris for coming in. You're listening to R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Next up, we've got Somebody Do Something by Rise.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.